13 together. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion of fall in his brother's way. All right, verse 11. For it is written. Where is it written? And how is that phrase? Yes, Paul.
Well, it is written that the Lord said, that Jesus said in his word, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God and give an account.
So it is written. And what is the Greek word for it is written? What does it mean?
Paul? Homologeo.
Homologeo is one. That's confess. Say the same thing about. But this Greek word for is what? What's this Greek for it is written?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, Pastor Dan.
The idea of homologeo, that's the word for say the same thing, but the other one for gegrapkai.
Gegrapkai is the word for it is written. That's
confess
right.
Confess is homologeo.
The homologeo is to confess. To agree with God or something is true. 1 John 1:9. But gegrapkai is from grapho. If someone can stop the noise somehow, I don't know how it could be done, but. All right, and that means something that is written in the past results in the present on into the future. And what is that about? What is the meaning of it is written? What is it referring back to? Any hands on that? What is it? Yes, Tammy.
In the Old Testament scriptures.
All right.
In this case, it seems like it may be Isaiah 45:23.
All right, and it's been written. And it stands written, that's what the perfect tense of the Greek means. Something that's written in the past, something happened in the past, it continues in the present, and continues on into the future. That is revelation, the words of God, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, that never have an ending. They are completed in the future, never stop. Pastor Dan, you have something?
All right. Thank you for this afternoon's Bible study.
That's from Vicki?
No, it's from Wendy? Elroy, Wisconsin, the Kosicks.
Wendy Rick Kosick. That's way to write it, Wendy Rick Kosick? Thank you very much. Okay, Romans. So it is written in verse 11, and it says, as I live, saith the Lord. How long will the Lord live? He has on that.
What was the question?
How long will the Lord live?
Forever.
Forever, no ending, no beginning, no ending. His eternal past, his eternal future. As I live, now what is promised here? What is asserted in verse 11 that's going to happen one day? Any hands on that? What's going to happen? Yes, Cass? Oh, you're just here.
I didn't hear it because I was putting these in.
Oh, okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, the question is, in verse 11, what is going to happen? And the next question about it is, when will it happen? Any hands on that? Yes, Tammy?
Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess.
All right, when will that take place?
Either at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne, depending on whether or not the person is a Christian.
All right, so that's exactly right. So it's going to be a question of everyone confessing to the Lord. Every knee shall bow, tongue shall confess to God. As you say, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne, that will take place. I wonder if anybody could, Cass.
That doesn't mean the Savior already have been judged at the rapture, right?
Yes, there'll be.
So they won't be judged.
They'll be judged at the great white,
judgment
seat of Christ. Yeah, judgment seat of Christ will be judged, every knee shall bow. Now, if there's someone that can go to the kitchen and return Anna to us here and remove some or other, appreciate it. So every time, every one of us, so that's why we should stop judging one another as Christians, because other people have taken care of it. I guess we have one volunteer. Okay, Anna will return and the other will be leave. So now, that's going to be a very good time. It won't be good to some, but you've got to confess to God what we've done, what we haven't done in this life at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether it's hay, wood, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Then in verse 12, what is mentioned here? Who is the us referred to in verse 12?
Jesus.
Any hands on that? Who's the us referring to? Success, Bill?
She's coming.
Good, thank you. And is the other one leaving? Okay, we don't know. All right, what does this refer to, Pastor Dan?
Well, this is going back to the previous verse. It's ex homologeo, rather the ex homologeo.
All right.
For the word shall confess, something that's future.
All right, shall confess.
Ex, to say the same thing, but ex has that prefix ex, ex epsilon xi, perhaps adds different, that prefix adds to it a little bit more than just saying the same thing.
All right.
Same thing out of, maybe it's based upon something, from saying the same thing, I suppose. I'm not really sure.
All right, exactly. The ex, account of himself. What do the word account mean? What would that include? Any hands on that? What type of things would be accounted for God? And why? That's it.
Well, in this context, we're in verse 13?
Verse 11 or 12, yes.
Okay. Giving an account of the responsibility for what they've done.
All right. And the us.
This seems like it's... The us is Paul and company. Us, he's including himself in this.
That's right. The genuine Christians as well. That's right.
He says, let us not therefore judge.
All right. So this does not judge one another. Who's the one another mentioned? Any hands on that? Who's included in the one another? It's Tammy.
Fellow Christians. I mean, kind of goes back to the very beginning about how in verse 3 we're not to despise one another or judge one another.
All right. We're going to give ourselves account to God, all genuine Christians, and we've got to be sure that we don't precede the judgment, the righteous judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment of Christ for sin. People don't always judge rightly. We don't have all the facts, and various other things are not the case. So, but we will give our account ourselves to God. And then verse 13, what's the conclusion of this other thing? What's the conclusion? What's the conclusion of this in verse 13?
Paul? He said that Jesus is saying this, let us not judge one another.
All right. See, because the Lord's going to take judgment on us, and he's going to give true judgment, accurate judgment, without any falsification, false judgment, and without any knowing the real facts. You'll have all the facts. What is the trait the Lord Jesus Christ has and possesses, as does God the Father, that will give them, both of them, the knowledge of all the facts?
Omniscience.
Knowing everything. No question about it. Everything is wonderful with the Lord. He knows the facts, the truth of anything that's mentioned. So let us not judge one another anymore. But what should be judged among Christians in verse 13? Any hands on that? What should be judged? What should be the case? Yes?
Well, it says here that we shouldn't put a stumbling block that would cause our brother to sin.
All right.
So we have to be careful that we don't do anything that would cause another Christian to fall.
Okay.
I don't know if that would be judged or...
What is a stumbling block? How would you define that? Maybe someone else is able to take care of things over here and clear the decks. Anyone volunteer? Anna was sort of successful, but didn't work. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it meant a sin. That's what I thought it meant, but I don't know if that
makes sense. All right. Everyone should give account to the Lord, an account of what he's done or what she's done for all the times he's been a Christian. All right, we read 11, 12, and 13. Judge this stumbling block. What did we say that again was? What is a stumbling block? Yes.
I thought it was sin, but I don't know.
Well, this part about it in the figure of speech, yeah, Bill.
A stumbling block is anything that can get you sidetracked, divert you from your mission, which is to walk in the Spirit.
That may be the application. What is the literal meaning of a stumbling block? Literal meaning. Tammy.
Something that's in your way as you're walking that you trip on.
You trip on. You might fall. See, that's a stumbling literally. Now, what Bill says is fine, application, but literally. So God does not want anybody to fall and have a stumbling block in his brother's way. An occasion to fall his brother's way. Let's read verse 14, 15, and 16 together. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that conceiveth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But that if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. All right, verse 14. What does Paul know here that he's persuaded of in this regard in verse 14? What is he persuaded about? What is he persuaded about? Any hands on that? Verse 14. What is he persuaded of, Paul, as he's writing? Yeah, Tammy.
There's nothing unclean of itself.
All right, nothing unclean of another by itself, not unclean, but what is the case? What is the case? Yeah, Tammy.
This kind of goes back to the Old Testament law. We had the clean and unclean animals that certain animals were not to be eaten by the Jews. And then also we had certain diseases that people had that were, they would be marked unclean, lepers. And they would be kept outside of the camp. So, I mean, and we remember that Peter had the, they had the sheep that came down, and it had all sorts of animals, clean and unclean.
Right.
And it, or was it just unclean? I don't remember. And it, the Lord said, slay and eat. And, and Peter said, not so, Lord. You know, I've never eaten anything unclean.
Right. What God cleaned, don't distinguish it unclean. So, nothing unclean of itself, but the last part of verse 14 tells the story, a different story. What does it tell? It ends on the last part of verse 14. Romans 14, 14. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261. 9018, if it's a call or comment, glad to hear from you. What's the last part of verse 14 mean when it talks about unclean by definition?
Well, Cass? Well, if you think it's unclean and you do it anyway, then it is unclean.
Yes, that's what it says in the very last part. To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. What's unclean or not? If he esteems unclean, to him it's unclean. What does esteemeth mean? Any hands on that? Yes, I mean, ten.
He considers it.
Considers to be unclean. It's unclean. Now, do all Christians agree on what is clean and unclean as far as their actions that they do?
No.
There's all kinds of differences. What are some of the differences that people have? Yes, Kat?
Some people think it's all right to drink.
That's right, some people.
A little bit or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Or they might not even say a little bit, but.
Yeah. And some people believe that. Keeping one day against the other, I mean, Sunday versus something else. That's what I was saying.
Some people think rock music is good to listen to.
Yes, some people think that.
Christian rock music, Christian rock music.
And even Christian rock music is good to listen to, or something else like that. And there's a difference of opinion on this. Cassie, do you have something else to say?
I was just going to say, even I've heard of years ago. Some Christians even say it's all right to have an abortion.
That's exactly right. There's a different opinion on that. Killing babies. And what's the latest clue or estimation or decision on aborting babies? What's the latest? Bill?
Well, the baby can be aborted after birth.
Exactly. Killed, murdered, and slaughtered after the baby's born.
And we're only one step away from some politician coming along and saying, well, the mother can have the baby aborted anytime up till their teen years if they decide that they don't like teenagers.
Yeah, they may reinterpret things that, absolutely. Slaughter anybody, killing anybody, like the people that Muslims are doing right now.
And then there's that organization for men and boys, where men marry boys, And, of course, a lot of the churches today accept homosexuality. Mm-hmm.
So these are things that are changing, seeming clean or unclean. The world, excuse me, Tammy.
Well, some Christians would, especially if they come from a Jewish background, they may continue to celebrate some of the feast days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And see, some of these so-called converted Jews, what do they call the special kind of Christians? What are they
Messianic
called?
Jews?
Yeah, Messianic Jews are still, many of them, linked to so many other things of the Old Testament. We believe that's dead wrong to have any of us affiliated with anything in the Old Testament unless it's repeated in the New. Then we follow it, we obey it, and so on. Pastor Dan.
Well, there's some people that are just not necessarily Jews at all, but still are, they're Christians, and they still want to try to carry over elements of the law into the modern day age of the church.
That's true, and that's not right either. Whether it's Jews or non-Jews, Old Testament is Old Testament, unless it's repeated in the New. For instance, in the Ten Commandments. How many are the Ten Commandments? How many are repeated in the New Testament? How many are not? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
Nine of the ten are repeated.
Nine of the ten are repeated, so we follow them. What's the one that's not repeated?
Remember the Sabbath.
Yes. Do some Christians want to remember the Sabbath?
Yes.
How do they change the Sabbath to something else? What do they change it to? What do they change it to? Yeah, Pastor Dan?
They move it to the first day of the week.
First day.
The seventh day of the week to the first day of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vaughn?
They don't say that it's the Sabbath. They're very strong that it's not the Sabbath.
Yeah, they twist it, they switch it, and that's not right either. They switch it from one day to the other. Yeah, Anna?
Yeah, that's true. They make it a Saturday.
Yes. Right, Anna?
Some people make the
Sunday.
Some people seem to worship on Saturday. There's a Seventh-day Adventist, and then maybe some Seventh-day Baptist. I don't know.
Yeah, there are Seventh-day Baptists. Yeah, there are.
So they worship on the seventh day, and they... They don't worship on the first day.
That's correct. So many things are misapplied Old Testament to the New Testament today. Now, some of those things in the Old Testament, they think they'd be very, for instance, no pork. Other dietary laws, various other, yes, but.
Another thing, a lot of Christians I see, a lot of things on Facebook, weddings, and they're dancing. And
yes.
It never used to be. Christians never used to dance because it was understood to be something that aroused sensual desires, and so it wasn't something that Christians wanted to participate in.
Yes, that's right. Pastor Dan.
In the same context of what Tammy was saying, sometimes there's not only the dancing, but there's also the alcohol that's associated with...
That's true.
With usually with the alcohol would never be brought into a Christian wedding.
Yes. Some people say there's nothing wrong with drinking either, as far as that's concerned. That's not it. Let's see what Jacob has to say. Oh, I can't get this out.
Should we call back Jacob?
I'll call back. Call Jacob Grummer. Excuse me. Call Jacob Grummer.
Which phone number for Jacob Grummer? Calling Jacob Grummer. Mobile.
I'll keep this out now. I've got it. Trapped in my belt. Well, guess he's not there anymore. Okay, Jacob, call back, please. I didn't get it out fast enough. Like, there's many things that people think are right. Many times the things are actually wrong. And so we've had to be very careful. Very
easy.
Okay, Jacob, can you call back? All right, I got him this time. Hey, go ahead, Jacob. That's all right now, go ahead. Speak up loud, we hardly hear you.
Hey, Pastor Wade.
Yes. That's true. Keep all of it. You're going to get part of it. Keep it the whole thing. That's right.
So you can ask a person, have you ever eaten ostrich? And then they'd say, what? And then you can say, well, since nobody really knows what that is,
Jacob and Dale Gromer over there in Texas, down there in Texas. Very good. I'll keep this out now so I won't miss any calls. So we're in verse number, which one is it? 15? Are we 15?
No, not yet.
14?
I think we're on
13. 13?
We haven't read anything beyond.
But 11, 12, and 13 we talked.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about
14. Yeah. Did we read 14, 15, 16? I think we did, didn't we? Yep. 14. Okay, so in verse 14, nothing unclean of itself, him that esteemeth, we break out that too, is unclean. So now in verse number 15, I guess we go on to that. If thy brother, that refers to what type of a person that he has in there? My brother.
A believer.
Believer, right. Is it strictly male, or is it male and female?
Could be both.
It can be both, this context probably. That brother, one who's a Christian, genuine Christian, true Christian, be grieved. What does grieved mean in the hands of that? Tam?
Troubled, burdened.
Troubled, burdened.
Randy Cottishaw, Anne Marie Cottishaw.
Okay, from Canada. Yes, hello, Randy, Anne Marie.
Good afternoon, Pastor Wade. I just have a question about the worshiping on the seventh day.
Yes.
If they consider that essential for holiness, how do they deal with the fact that, geographically speaking, the seventh day occurs at different times all over the planet?
Yes. Very good.
Just wondering, has anybody ever heard of them having to deal with that question, because the seventh day is going to occur at the opposite ends of the earth on another day?
That's right.
How can they? So which is the real holy day?
Right. I don't have the answer to that. Anybody have one here or wants to call in and give us, Tammy?
I don't know. Maybe they just do it in their own time zone.
Maybe their own time zone, she says, Anna.
That's right.
They probably do it in their own time zone, but I suppose now thinking about it, should it be based on the time in Jerusalem?
Should it be based on the time in Jerusalem, maybe? That'd be horrendous.
No, not Greenwich Mean Time. Time in Jerusalem.
Right.
England is not
so
the center.
They could be worshiping on a day that is not the official day, and they could all be wrong so far.
That's exactly right. Good point, Randy. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Let's wave to Randy and Emery in Canada. Thank you very much for calling us. That's a very good idea. We're talking about verse, what was it, 15?
14.
14.
No, 15, you're right.
Okay. The grieved or by thy meat. Now, what does that meat mean here in this particular context? Any hands on that? Grieved with thy meat. Any hands on that? Questions at BFTPC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment, or maybe you can answer this question. In this verse, if somebody's grieved with thy meat, what do you think it means in this context? What does it mean normally? Start with that, something easy. Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
Food,
all right.
Specifically, it could be meat that's offered to idols.
Meat offered to idols? Could be different kinds of meat that cast, Tammy?
And the things that they approve of by application.
All right. And in the Old Testament, are the things that they're absolutely forbidden to eat?
Yes.
Yes, very definitely. A long list of things. Bill?
Yeah, well, I eat pork. And I know a lot of Christians do eat pork. In the Old Testament time, you couldn't do that.
That's right. It's unlawful. Many things to eat. And some of the things that are lawful to eat, I wouldn't dare eat. I can't stand some of those things. But they're clean.
Dipped in dark chocolate, they taste better.
What's that?
But if those grasshoppers are dipped in dark chocolate, they taste better.
Is that what they are? That's what they do?
Well, They probably eat it without the dark chocolate. Oh, but I would eat one, I want it. Mine is dark chocolate.
Maybe so, wild honey.
Mm. Wild honey.
Locust. Wild honey.
Wild honey, that's better probably for you.
So many things. Grieve with them. In other words, grieve with anything that you do is a practice and so on. What are you supposed to do if that's the case? Rather be grieved, that'd be verse 15. What does it mean, that last part? Thou walkest not charitably. What does that refer to? Thou walkest not charitably. Yes?
Henry's first.
Henry?
Ladies first?
Yes, why not?
So you're not considering the other person, you're not giving. You know, if you're destroying another Christian, you're not considering their spiritual needs and you're not loving them.
That's right. That's right.
You know, without love, you know, without an unsacrificial love.
All right.
Charitably is, you know, agape.
Yes.
Agape, whichever, whatever it is.
Agape, yeah, that's good.
It's a verb or a noun.
That's right. Agape. All
so
right.
So it's, that's a unsacrificial love, charitably.
All right. Now, if that's the case, and you're not walking charitably, the last part of 15, what does it mean about destroying him with thy meat for whom Christ died? What does it mean, destroying in this case, in the hands of that? Yeah, yes.
Yes, Ray, I have a question.
Faith.
What is meat? It doesn't really mean meat, right?
Yeah, probably not. It's just
what does it really mean then? Because I'm confused.
Well, meat does really mean meat, but Pastor
Dan. Not in this verse, right?
It includes meat.
It includes meat.
But it could be expanded food, right? Food in general.
Food in general. Oh. Food in general, or actions in general.
Oh, okay.
It's that way, but literally it does mean meat. They have very strict laws about what to eat, what not to eat in the Old Testament. And so if you're hardened or hurt or stumbled, then you've got to be careful what you do and what you not do. So if you be grieved, thou walkest not charitably. Now we can't do everything other people want us to do, that's for sure. It's impossible. Each one of us, for genuine Christians, true Christians, they have their own standards, their own way of life, way of doing things. And we can't in lockstep everyone agree 100% on everything, but we try to be as blendy as we can. One thing we can do, if we have strong feelings on something that's not necessarily biblical, but just a principle, we don't have to force that principle on everyone else that we see. We may follow it because to us it's logical, but to some people it isn't logical. So in the things of Scripture, we can be very sure that we should follow that. All Christians, general Christians should. But some things are just our own ideas and thoughts. We can't force those upon other believers and Christians unless they want to follow them. Is that right? Agree with them, thou walkest not in that charity, then destroy not him with any for whom Christ died. Is somebody aware of Christians that have been destroyed by other people trying to get them to follow a certain course in regard to actions or meat or anything else? Anybody know? Yeah, Bill?
Yeah, there seems to be a worldwide effort by politicians to get more and more people to follow Islam.
Yes.
The traditions of Islam and a worldwide Bible which accepts Allah. That's pretty much the biggest thing that's going on right now.
Yes. And ISIS, which is supposed to be part of the religion there, Muhammad, I don't know that Muhammad would do all the things that ISIS did. They kill and slaughter. I just read an article today, but they slaughtered, I think it's 5,000, over 5,000 Christians, one of the countries in the United States. 5,000, because the Christians slaughter and kill them, see? Horrible. Yes, that's that.
Maybe three things. I mean, it's possible they'd be small C Christians. There may be some capital C Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's
true. I think Muhammad.
That's true.
Did kill people. Did go to war and kill people.
Yes.
Slaughter, kill a bunch of people. And sadly, some major television networks are coming to the defense of Islam.
Yes, they are.
Some of their key spokeswomen.
That's right. Now, what do you think?
Conservative television networks.
Yes. What do you think that statement I read this morning about one of the men says, at what point those that are believing in Islamophobia going to possibly be put to prison or be killed? Those that hate Islam. What do you think that means? this.
What's whenever they decide this is a scare tactic? They want to put phobia on anything that they, on any of their enemies they disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yet they are their Christophobia.
Yeah.
You know, their heterophobia. Mm-hmm. Their, you know, but they have hate hatred. Their hatred is far, their far surpasses any false straw man hatred that they put upon their opponents. Mm-hmm.
I remember, Bill.
Yeah, when and applying the word phobia, it basically means, let's say, if you don't approve of Islam, you don't accept it as a legitimate religion, then you are Islamophobic. If you don't accept homosexuality as a legitimate lifestyle, then you are homophobic.
Yes.
I can disagree with those things. And I can say that those things are wrong. And I don't have to apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no right to call me phobic for it either.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, Jacob, right ahead. From Texas.
Yes, sir. Pastor Wade and y'all. Hello. That Islamophobia, it was created by a group called the International Institute of Islamic Thought. Part of the OIC, Organization of Islamic Conference, the United Nations, the largest voting bloc there. But it's a Muslim Brotherhood, you know, basically, it's where all the Sunni terrorist groups come out of Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's them. That's who started that.
Yes. Very good. Thank you for that, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. Jacob in Texas. Jacob in Dale Roman. Good. What is the thing, the religious system, that all Islamic people hold to and want to force upon all the rest of us? What's the name of it?
The Quran.
Well, that's right. Yeah. What's the name of it?
Sharia law.
And Sharia law agrees with killing this or killing this or shooting, you know, it's horrible. And when someone is pushed on her Sharia law, trying to replace, in fact, the Muslim entity, the people that are hardcore Muslims, and they want to force everyone in this country to follow the Muslim law and Sharia law. That's what they're after. That's their goal. And a lot of them are coming in here invading us. They're not coming in as valid people, valid at all, but illegal entrants in our country. Well, when this is, what's her name? I can't even think of her name. Ran for president last time.
Hillary Clinton.
She says, I'm never going to run again. But she uses all kinds of phobias in her speeches. I think at least five different ones. Remember some of the five ones she used? And she just rattled them off. Islamophobia. What are some rest of them? I don't remember much.
I don't know. Irredeemable and deplorable.
Deplorable. Yeah, Bill?
I'm a Hillary phobic.
She had a whole rattle of them. So, yeah, but to Anna?
Everyone is deplorable, but no one is irredeemable.
That's right. Yeah. We're all sin comes short of the glory of God.
But Hillary said we were all irredeemable.
Exactly. That's what I'm very sure.
Maybe she's irredeemable.
No, I don't think.
Now, she says she's not running again. I don't know. Could be.
Well, she would be if she's got a hard heart.
But Bill?
She claims to be a Methodist.
Yes, I know. Well, there's lots of, with a small m Methodist and not a genuine historic Methodist like John Wesley and Charles Wesley. But anyway, so in verse 14, verse 15, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, be very careful what you try to push on fellow believers and destroy them because you have a specific situation yourself. If it's in the Bible, go ahead and sell it and say it, and that's what you should follow. But if it's our own idea, be careful. Let's see, 14, 15, 16. What is the caution in verse 16? What do you think it means? Any hands on that? The caution in verse 16.
Let not your own good be evil spoken of.
What do you think that means, Paul?
Well, I'm trying to, no, let's not have, like, you know, evil thoughts against somebody or something. I think is what it means.
Okay.
Well, if you are eating meat and your brother is grieved by it,
mm-hmm.
and then he speaks evil against what you find, you've already, between you and the Lord, you've already determined that it's not unclean for
mm-hmm.
you to eat, and they see you, you know, he see you eating it, and then he speaks evil
mm-hmm.
of that. He speaks evil of your meat because it's offensive to him.
Can you ever stop people being against you because of the things you believe? Any way to stop that completely?
No.
No? What if you believe the Bible, the doctrines of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the creation of the world by God? No. Does that always agree with everybody and make them love you? Yeah.
No.
Damn.
But it's one thing if you know that somebody is offended by something that you're doing, and they're genuinely telling you, and you harden your heart against them and basically disregard it. I mean, because you're basically saying that you don't care about that person and if they're destroyed spiritually.
Is this verse 16 easy to follow or hard to follow? It has a
cast?
It's hard to follow, you know, sometimes.
See, the lover, go ahead, Tam, and Pastor Dan. Tam?
That's it. There's not really anything else.
Looking back at the previous verse for a moment, this word,
okay,
apoluomai, to destroy. This is the frequency of this is 92 times in the text Receptus, but in the Gnostic text, only 90 times. There's two verses, two times that this word's been dropped out of the critical text.
Mm-hmm.
This the word destroyed.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So in verse number 16, it'd be fine if all the things that we do that we believe are, that are good will never be evil spoken of by anybody. It'd be wonderful. But with people the way they are, what they generally believe, what is involved in this thing, good? Let's define that first. What do you think would be involved in these things called good?
Well, to me, I'm looking at it says you're good, so
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's your decision to you know, in all going back to the context previous, you know, to eat something perhaps that's offered into an idol or
mm-hmm.
whatever the context, whatever
mm-hmm.
whatever the application rather I should say, of
mm-hmm.
of doing something that you have liberty to do. In the Lord, the Lord has given you that
mm-hmm.
liberty, but other people are not happy with that.
How would you define the word good? The word Pastor Dan first.
A life, yeah. I think it's the word for good. This has to be, it has to be a standard for it.
Agathos.
Agathos.
Yeah.
There's got to be systems.
True.
Oh, thank you. There has to be a standard for that.
Yes.
As far as the standard of the Word of God.
I think it's just biblical then. You have
to have the standard you use to measure things, whether they're good or evil,
right,
is from Scripture.
Exactly. Yes,
not something else. You know, we have a comment here from someone else there in Wisconsin.
All right.
Wendy.
Wendy Barbarian.
Her father is better, stabilized, and her uncle needs to make some more improvements with his stroke. But in her comment is about our previous discussion about dancing and drinking.
Yes.
She says if a Christian partakes in this, we're also stumbling block, which we talked about a little earlier.
Right.
If a Christian participates in dancing and drinking, that can also be a stumbling block to others.
Yes.
Good.
So it could be a poor witness. And
right.
She says it's a very good study and helpful.
Very good. Let's wave to Wendy Barbarian. Wendy Barbarian there in Wisconsin. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, Wendy had a hymn for us this morning. That's good. She's on our email list. So let's go back to verse 16. Now, if you're good, suppose that means everything clearly taught in the Bible that you believe and practice. If that's the meaning of it, is it wrong to have your good as Bible principles be evil spoken of? Is that wrong?
No.
No, that's right. In other words, you
it's wrong from the person that's doing it.
It's wrong for them to challenge you, see, if you're following the Bible, but do people challenge you even though you are following the Bible?
But, yeah, yes. But why would it say, let not then your good be evil spoken of, if there is an option?
If you can't help it, yes, that's right, there's an option. So that's why maybe this does not refer to the Bible, but doesn't define good, kalos, it's just something that's good, be evil spoken of. And that's a command, let not. So, if we can avoid it, we can avoid it. But if this refers to that which is biblical and taught in Scripture, we shouldn't avoid following the Bible just because it's going to offend somebody. See, if Christians believe in the Scripture words and the sin of homosexuality, the sin of adultery, the sin of fornication, and people don't agree with us, to keep be silent, now that's ridiculous. But this good must be something other than the Bible. Biblical standard. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Maybe the good is in the context of whether someone partakes of certain types of food or doesn't partake of certain foods.
It could be.
Going back to the verse 15.
Could be that that definition of the word good. All right. If you can avoid it, see. Yeah, Cass?
Well, and speaking of that being good, when I was saved and saved for a while, none of my family was saved. And I would like express some kind of a belief. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would get it from all sides. So that's why I say, everybody yelled at me, saying you're crazy and this and that. So we still have to stick by it. It's not easy.
That's not easy.
I mean, I got thrown out of my sister's house one time by my brother.
Wow.
A lot of different things. And because I stood for something that they didn't, you know, they didn't think I was believing right.
Yes.
So it's not always easy.
No, it's not always easy. Not always easy. But we believe that we should be proud, we should be thankful for the Lord for His word that's given to us. Right. Yeah, Cass?
I just want to say that.
Yeah. Okay.
The courage didn't come from me, it came from the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're glad the Lord gave you a victory.
Yes, He did.
He gave your mouth and your stand.
I'm really basically a very weak person.
Yeah,
so God is the one who
took care of you, even though you were thrown out of your house, the house. Friends out. All right, now we read up to 14. Did we read 15, maybe?
Yeah, we read through 16.
16, all right. So then in we read through 16.
Yeah.
We didn't start 17, did we?
No, not yet.
But let's read 17, 18, and 19. Before we do, let's questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. We appreciate the calls we've had from people. Continue to call us, if you will. Comment or question or just say hello. 17, 18, and 19. Let's go. For the kingdom of God is just not meat and drink, but righteousness and grace and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ was acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may follow another. All right, that's 17, 18, 19. Now, the kingdom of God, how would we define that? How is that defined in Scripture that he has on that? The kingdom of God. And he has on that. The kingdom of God. Yeah, 10.
Salvation.
Salvation, probably that's right. What about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and so on? What is the general picture of those two words?
The kingdom of heaven is different.
All right. How would you say it was different?
It seems to be referring to the millennial reign of Christ.
Kingdom of heaven, the millennial reign of Christ on earth, and the kingdom of God.
It's God's rule over all the universe.
All right, and it's probably most of the people in the kingdom of God are genuine Christians and believers in Christ. So the kingdom of God, as it says here, is not meat and drink. What would that mean? Not meat and drink. Has a time?
Well, going back again to the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about, you know, eating meats offered unto idols, and not eating meats offered unto idols. You know, it's not about doing and not doing. That's what religious systems have. They have rules, and you don't break them. This is about something more, about righteousness, peace, and
all right, there's the last first part of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How would you define those things? The kingdom of God, righteousness. How would you define righteousness? How do you get it? And he hands him, how would you define righteousness? And how is it obtained, or is it ever obtained by anyone? And he hands on that. Yes?
Well, the righteousness and peace and joy come from when we become believers. We're born again and we receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's His righteousness. I don't know if I'm saying this right.
Uh-huh.
But it's His righteousness and He gives us the peace and joy. You know, right. It comes from the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
Yes.
How is righteousness or righteous standing before God obtained in the court of the Bible? Your hands on that. That, Tim?
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes our righteous standing. He gives us His righteousness, righteous standing before God, when we're truly born again and saved and become Christians. And His righteousness, not ours, is credited to the throne of God, the books of God. So, kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Those are outward things, but righteousness, peace. How do you get anyone get peace in this wicked world? And he has a Paul?
By accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives and repenting of their sins and asking for forgiveness.
Like Romans 5:1, let's say it together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him. And joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy.
Yes.
What, let's name them. The fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy, peace,
long-suffering,
gentleness,
goodness,
faith, meekness, temperance.
Nine gifts of the Spirit. Okay. So all of these, the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is divine. And it's an interesting thing that someone who is divine indwells every genuine Christian in the world. Someone who's divine has entered into those who are saved, genuine Christians, true Christians, and He dwells with them and indwells with them forever. There's no way to take the Holy Spirit away when someone is a genuine Christian and He indwells them. He's there to stay. And spirit, soul, and body, may your spirit, soul, and body be righteous and genuine and what's the next part of it?
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Right. So, we've got to be strong for the Lord, and we want to praise Him for this great peace. Kingdom of God, righteous peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, some people say they get joy by doing things, or drinking things, or eating things. What does it mean to have joy in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? Can unsaved people have joy in the Holy Spirit? No, they cannot. Can every Christian, does every Christian have joy in the Holy Spirit? Does every genuine Christian have always joy in the Holy Spirit? No, they don't. Like, tell me that something.
Well, as the Holy Spirit controls us, we are able to rejoice in those things that the Lord has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ and and even who He is, you know, and the wonder of who God is.
When we walk in the Spirit of God, as it says in the Scriptures, we can have the fruit of the Spirit. One of the parts of the fruit would be joy, His joy. Yes?
Well, I was just going to say, if we go off the what we should be on, the word to the Lord, or we should live a life that's a Christian life, and we go off of that, or we don't stay by the principles that we should read our Bible and pray. We do lose our joy sometimes.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Maybe something like a death or something. Sometimes you want to be joyful, but you just can't be.
Right.
But it's not that you lost it sometimes. That's just grief. But you don't feel the joy sometimes.
Let me ask you,
is always with us.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible when things go wrong with us in our lives, our homes, our principles, is it still possible to have the joy of the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Regardless of how things go wrong with us, the joy of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Holy Spirit can be joyous. Yeah, the 10?
1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. And that goes back to verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And if we would meditate on that and think on that when we are going through those difficult times, it would help us tremendously.
Help us tremendously. You're absolutely right. Then in verse number 18, even in these things serveth Christ. What do these things go back to, do you think? Any hands on that? In these things serve Christ.
In righteousness, peace, and joy in the
right.
Holy Ghost.
That's good. And all these other things that are there, if in these things serve Christ, is acceptable to God and approved to men. Now, is everything acceptable to God always approved by men?
Mm-mm.
No. But some things are. They can't hack it. I remember we went into a restaurant one time. And the one behind the register that takes our money when we pay our bills, she said to my wife, she said, I can't remember exactly what she said, something to the effect that when you people come into this restaurant, something different, there's something different about you. There's a shine, there's a something. I don't know how she phrased it, but she said there's something different. I don't know anything about that. See, how do we know what people think of us when we walk in somewhere? We don't know, but that woman must have been something that impressed the woman that was a different thing than most of the people walking in on that restaurant. Interesting. Interesting. But that's true what you said, Tammy, all these different things. We can be approved of men sometimes and acceptable to God. Sometimes acceptable to God and not approved of men. A lot of times anything that's acceptable to God, men hate and despise. But sometimes, when we walk with the Lord, accept the Lord, and approve it, well, that's wonderful. They agree. Sometimes they do. They tell.
I think in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, in either Mark or Luke, or I don't know, one of those, it says that they grew in stature and favor with God and men.
God and men. That's very good. It's a good difference. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261. 9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Glad to hear from those people that called us. Then in verse, we went through 18, then 19, verse 19. What are we to follow here? What is the command of the encouragement of verse 19 that believers should do? Any hands on that? What is the suggestion and command? Yes, Pastor Dan, and then Cass.
Follow things after things that which make peace.
All right. And what else? In verse 19. Follow things that make for peace.
And things that may edify one another.
Edify one another. Yeah,
Cass. Well, I was just going to say that if we follow the Lord and what he tells us in the scripture, we will have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gives us peace when we get saved. There's a difference.
Peace with God.
We're not like we were when we were unsaved.
Right.
But the peace comes by following the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, in verse 18, or 19 rather, wherewith one may edify another, when we follow the things which make for peace, if it's peace with God, is it different than peace with men? Any hands on that? Peace with God, is it different than peace with men? Pardon me?
It should not be.
Should not be, all right. But if we follow things which make for peace, things where one may edify another, I guess I'm talking about 18, acceptable to God and approved of men. I guess that's what I was going to look at. Sometimes when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, is it always acceptable to God? Yes or no? Is it, when we serve the Lord, is it acceptable to God? Yes, Paul?
I guess not always. And the reason it is, if it's the right motives,
uh-huh.
I guess if I'm making sense here,
mm-hmm.
If it's not the right motives, then it's
not acceptable. I could be wrong.
Okay.
That's right.
But if it's...
We're not going to sit down and lose ever. They will come and pick them up.
If it's acceptable to God, if we do the right things, but things that are acceptable to God, are they always acceptable to men?
No.
No, they're not. A lot of things acceptable to the Lord, they can't stand. People in general. Some can.
They don't want to hear it.
The world doesn't want to hear it, but sometimes it can be done, but not always. So, did we read 19? I think we're at 19, didn't we?
No, not yet.
Not yet? All right, let's read 19, 20, and 21. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things whereof one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's been evil for that man to eat without offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. All right, so in verse 19, what do you find?
I've come in and out of class. Are we over now?
No.
No, we're still going.
No, it's not.
Because I have things to mail.
No, honey, you don't need to be mailed. Honey, Yvonne, I
suggest that you leave the class because we're talking about the class. Mail things to leave the class.
You want me to leave the class?
Yes, because we're not going to mail things.
The post office is closed tonight. It's okay.
Post office is closed. If you want to stay and listen to the Bible reading, that's fine, but we can't mail things this afternoon. Thank you. So, in verse number 19, things that follow after the things which make for peace. That's a wonderful thing to try to follow. How do you make for things that make for peace? How do you follow things that make for peace? Any hands on that? How do you follow? They say follow, how are we going to follow them? Yes, Tim?
Well, again, going back to the beginning of the chapter, because I think the whole chapter is all one. Uh-huh. But, you know, you don't eat something that causes someone else to stumble.
Right.
You don't despise someone else for eating something, you know.
Something that should...
Or judge them, rather.
Right.
Judge them.
So it's not always easy to follow after things you make for peace, because sometimes you're following things you think are going to make for peace with fellow believers, and makes for war. And they antagonize, they fight, they work. But we've got to try. If it follows the scripture, if they're genuine Christians, they should follow. It should make them peaceful. But sometimes they don't. And things are where they may edify another. How would you define edify? And what does that mean? Edify another. What does edify mean? He has on that. Yes, Cass, and then...
Does it mean build someone up? Encourage? Does it mean build them up?
Build up, encourage? That's a possibility of faith?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. This is something to edify, build them up in the things of the Lord, so that we're strong in Christ and in their belief in the Lord. And things that edify and build up. Now, what is the best way to edify or build up someone in the faith and the Bible doctrines? What's the best way to do that? Yes?
I would say to tell them about it and teach them.
Where do you find the teaching?
In the scripture and coming to church. I get edified when I come to church. I needed to be edified. Isn't that what you do here?
That's right, we try, absolutely.
Yes.
Edify means to build up. That cast? Excuse me, Tammy.
I'm Tammy, but it's okay.
Sorry.
I think sometimes if we walk in such a way that we are doing what is right ourselves, that is a big help to other people. Because I know, just case in point, when we went to the seminary for that week of teaching, that was a real blessing to my heart to see the love and the commitment that they had to the Lord.
Yes,
so.
Very good. That was a wonderful time. I listened to a lot of it on the internet. We had a class for that. Dan did a very good job, Pastor Dan. I'm glad that you're in the class too. You spoke up as well when asked. So these things about follow after things we may edify and build up one another. That's a great challenge, isn't it? Did we read 20 yet or not? I don't know that we...
We did.
Yes, we did. We read 22
and 23.
Oh, we did. 22 and 23.
21 and 20 and 21.
20 and 21. But for verse 20, what does this verse part mean? For meat destroy not the work of God. What do you think that means? Oh, here's David Howell. Very good. Let's see what he has to say. Yes, David and Rebecca from South Carolina. Go right ahead. South Carolina, appreciate that. That's good, to David. Yes, call.
Dr. Wade, could you let me know when the bus comes in?
Yeah, we'll be looking.
Yeah, he built out eyes in the back of his head.
No, that's fine, that's
we'll sure let you know.
All right.
Any other comments on these verses? We'll stop right here and bring it back, Lord willing, next Thursday. We stopped at first number, what was it? 20?
19, we finished.
19, finished 19.
We didn't finish
20. Any other comments or questions before we close? Let us now let's close in the word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank and praise thee for these verses. Not always easy to understand. We thank thee for the input, the comments from our class present, those listening by the internet, the good comments there, and we appreciate the emphasis and the fellowship we can enjoy one with another by all through many miles while we can talk about thy words. Continue to bless and use us. Bring us back on Thursday for Bible study. And help us, Lord, every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to live for him and to be blessed in the fellowship, and help us to edify one another and build us one another up with the scriptures and the truth that we have given and we have received by thy words. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you.